welcome to the final Mumbrella podcast of 2009 from the studios of CBS Interactive. I'm Tim Burrows. Coming up today, a review of the past week and a review of the past year. With me as ever, Camille Alacon, Deputy Editor of Mumbrella, and Scott Rohde of House Party PR.
Hi, Tim.
Here we go then. First of all, piece of relatively breaking news. I guess probably not a massive surprise, Camille, but Kyle and Jackie O got the slap on the wrist they so richly deserved.
Yeah, it seemed a very slight slap almost, and it's almost a shame that ACMA isn't allowed to hand out fines.
Yeah, this is the odd thing, is if you... Now, let me read out the relative ruling. So what tends to happen is if you are in breach of the radio code, then that's it. They find that you're in breach of the radio code.
Mm. And they do nothing because you're a big toothless tiger.
Well, that is what they would then
say. Did you say titless or toothless?
And toothless tiger.
I believe he said toothless. It was just his incomprehensible Scottish accent. But what they can do is if you breach your conditions of your licence, which is what they've now done, then you then can be fined.
So yeah.
Next time they really, really will be in trouble.
Next time.
It's just worth recapping. So for people who don't remember, what they did was they put a 12-year-old girl...
14.
I do apologise because that makes some difference. 14-year-old girl on live radio and quizzed her about her sex life, at which point it emerged that she was an alleged rape victim, which was kind of awkward, to say the least, led to Kyle losing his, in the end, his role on Australian Idol, about which we might talk later, and then being taken off the air for a while. So there's a new condition has been posed by ACMA, the Australian Communications and Media Authority, which, amongst other things, it says that they can't... now put a child through unnecessary distress or anxiety by their involvement in a program or by the broadcast of a program or program content, and they can't cause a child to be exploited or humiliated.
It's funny, one thing I would say is that this really should have been there in the past.
Well, I suppose it's one of those things, you know, presumably there isn't written down you must not slap readers in the face with a fish, but you'd sort of assume that probably you shouldn't. But
yeah.
So the fact that they've had to spell it out is something that's surprising.
It's slightly ridiculous. I mean, it seems like an obvious thing to do, to be a bit more sensitive towards, you know, to a minor. So I don't know if this is really going to change anything apart from, I mean, is it really going to rein in, Kyle? I mean, there was a second incident this year as well, wasn't there?
There was, yes. There was the Magda incident where he referred to her losing weight in a concentration camp. Which obviously can be offensive to someone of Polish heritage.
Jew?
Yes, or in fact,
fat people.
Or fat people or anyone.
Yeah, actually. Really, very much.
Yeah.
He's good at that, Kyle.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other thing to bear in mind is there is also a wider review going on of radio standards, so that one still goes. But despite that, or maybe because of it, Camille, listenership for commercial radio actually went up in 2009.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it all down to Kyle and Jackie O and those segments. But generally, I think it was about 146,000 more people listened this year compared to last year.
This is according to
CRA, Commercial Radio Australia, which is the figures compiled by Nielsen.
So just under 8.8 million people tuned into Australian commercial radio, according to the statistics.
Yeah.
I suppose my only question is, that relatively small difference, is it statistically significant, or does it just mean that, hey, we're going about as well as last year?
Yeah.
And the other thing is, it would be interesting to know how it compares to the growth of the population in the same time. You know, I suspect that maybe that's actually fallen slightly below that.
Yeah.
You know, as a proportion of the overall size of Australia.
We should have asked a media buyer, perhaps.
Yes, well...
Is that also tracking digital radio?
Not yet.
Next year they're doing some studies, a bit of research into it, to basically push sales for it, CRAs. So I think everyone's waiting and watching in terms of that growth area, potential growth area.
But looking more generally, the final set of radio ratings for the year came out in the last few days as well.
Yeah.
Which, again, we're forced to talk about Kyle and Jackie O.
Yeah, well, no big surprises, I think. So in Sydney, the biggest market, Today FM maintained its lead.
Which is owned by Oz Stereo.
Oz Stereo, that's correct. With 11 points, just over 11% share compared to DMG Radio Nova's 8.7%.
What about a breakfast?
That's well, breakfast, that's the big crucial time slot for listeners and for media buyers and advertisers. Today FM rose 1.5 percentage points to 12.5%.
Which obviously is a triumph for Kyle and Jackie O.
Big triumph. I mean, slot. They saw a little bit of a dip earlier on during the year, during the June-September period, when they fell about a fifth, lost about a fifth of its audience.
Although they were very cross with the way we interpreted those results. So I should probably say that the way one calculates that fifth is disputed, is it fair to say.
Right, okay, Tim, all right. So it was really a good win for them.
Yes, Nova, bye-bye American Rosso and Kate Ritchie. And
they had a good ending to the year, though, so obviously listeners stayed with them.
Yeah, Nova must be delighted.
Yeah, come back next year for, well,
for
one of the third team that we've got going on, so.
Yeah, okay. It's got a real end-of-year feel to it, hasn't it? You know, the last few days as we've been getting ready to record this, all of the summaries of the year and all of these things have been coming out. And one of those popular moments is when the top 10 ad complaints of the year. So these are the most complained about. And one of the interesting things is not all of them were found guilty as well. But Camille, talk us through a couple of your highlights.
Found guilty.
Or dismissed or upheld, I believe, might be the correct terminology.
Well, out of the top 10, in the top 10 list, Target and Coke Zero were the ones in terms of complaints. They had about 50 complaints respectively. Those complaints were actually upheld, and they were both TVCs, TV ads. The Target one was called Denim Nation, and again, I wasn't in the country when it was aired, and it's no longer on air. You guys might know about it. So the TV ad for Target was people getting out of a clothes dryer to dry their jeans.
Which seems, you know, very irresponsible behaviour. I nearly copied them myself.
I would have done.
I could have died.
And Coke Zero was the complaints against them were upheld.
Yeah, so this was an intriguing one for the breakup, which was the one where
talk me through it.
Well, the bloke nervously tells his slightly stern-looking girlfriend, then you know, sitting in a relatively normal bar or diner, that he wants to split up. And it turns out to be the best breakup ever, where suddenly pole dancers arrive. She tells him it's fine, and maybe they can just mess around and hook up from time to time, and everyone dances around raunchily. This, though, was an international ad. It wasn't made in Australia.
Right.
It didn't fall foul of the regulator in many other parts in many other parts of the world.
I think it sounds hilarious. I mean, I haven't seen it.
I thought it was quite funny when I saw it.
Yeah.
But
your target audience, aren't
but
you?
But then
again, pure old young man,
well,
you know.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I don't drink Coca-Cola Zero, so it made no difference to me whatsoever. But I laughed at it, but then that's the problem, is that some things people laugh at, some things people don't.
And we mentioned the most complaining, Gasp Denim. Now that's funny, considering it's just in one state as well.
Many people even know the brand. It's just in Victoria. And I think actually out of the 250 complaints, it was about 200 of them were from a letter within a given community. That was dismissed.
Image.
Basically, it's a billboard ad. It's a billboard ad of a row of women. I can't tell if they're the same looking because they're all blonde. Wearing gasp.
Discriminatory there.
Gasp. Pull me off the air then. Wearing gasp jeans and not wearing anything else on top.
But you can't see anything. They've got their hand covering certain areas.
Yeah, they do, which is okay, whatever. I just, for me, as a female, I don't find it offensive. I just think, oh, whatever, another kind of cheap ad, really.
And speaking of not cheap, our friends at the Advanced Medical Institute had three complaints in the top 10, none of which were upheld. I think they were all dismissed, weren't they? I'm just looking down the list. These are the people who had the longer lasting sex billboard.
And they had
men
do it longer.
Yes, or do it longer, wasn't it?
And I think the other one's men and women talk about reaching the big O.
The other issue with the AMI is just that of how effective is the treatment anyway. And of course, we saw the rather interesting investigation by Adam Ferrier from Naked, who actually kind of went along almost as an undercover customer and investigated, telling them he's suffering both from erection problems and premature ejaculation, which was, you know, was quite the achievement. But they were quite happy to sell him a pill for that, which, you know, one wouldn't like to draw any conclusions other than the fact that that came as a surprise.
I think, well, for me, it was interesting that the ASA's chief exec, Fiona Jolly, came out and said that a lot of the complaints that were made were around sex, sexuality and nudity, although I'm not sure that's a big surprise. So, and it's also been a lot in relation to billboard advertising. So they're actually going to be looking at some research on behalf of the ASB early next year. Sorry, ASA, thinking of the board in the UK right now.
Sometimes, well, the thing is, they call themselves both, don't they? So there is a board that call themselves the board, and sometimes they call themselves the bureau as well.
One of the things I see is, out of all the kind of top ten most complained ads, the one I actually found the most offensive was the solo advert, where the guy kicks the can, misses the bin, and leaves it. You know, I actually was like, oh, pick up your litter.
It's very irresponsible.
Yeah. You're far more middle class than I thought.
Hey, look, I think that littering is quite bad. It's bad for everyone.
Well, this is obviously something that runs through the social media community, of which I count you. I understand that I wasn't there, so this is not firsthand.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
So I'll just pass on the gossip without names. I understand that somebody dropped a piece of litter at the last Social Media Club Sydney event.
Yeah.
Somebody else invited them to pick it up, and when they refused, they got a slap.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yes. It got quite heated, I understand. Well, and that was overdropped litter.
Do you know what? If somebody drops litter in front of you and doesn't pick up, it's really quite rude.
How do you not advocating would violence?
You, no, I would never advocate the violence. I would, however, advocate asking them and requesting that they pick it up. I've done it in the street. I've stopped people and said, excuse me, you dropped your litter, can you pick it back up? Do you know what? It doesn't take a lot of time in your life to actually not litter the streets.
What did they do? I know this has nothing to do with advertising, but I have to ask. When you said that, what did they do?
Well, for some bizarre reason, my accent can sound threatening when I'm angry.
No, really?
And, they quite happily ran back over and picked up. It was a guy in a suit, and he dropped some litter, and I just went, oh, mate, you want to go pick it up? That's a bit rude. And he ran over, picked it up, put it in the bin. It's great.
But in the middle of all that, I think Scott actually has some kind of point, because the government...
You sound surprised.
...has, for many years, I know growing up, has spent millions and millions of dollars educating the Australian population not to litter and making sure that, it becomes part of normal day-to-day just knowing how to do this. Mm. And for another advertiser to come out there and just think, I'll just put a crate out there of littering... It just goes against what we should be, how we should be thinking in Australia or anywhere in the world.
Well, maybe it should have been a Turkey of the Year, which leads us on neatly to Turkey of the Year. It was the eMumbrella Reader's Choice Awards last week, which we streamed live on the Mumbrella website. Amongst the many categories we had was Ad of the Year.
Can I just stress I wasn't in a turkey suit? I just thought I'd put it out there as soon as you claimed on Twitter that it was me.
So I said that again.
It was not me in the turkey suit.
Oh, I thought it was. I saw you.
No,
it
really wasn't me.
No, I saw
it's
you.
It's much taller than me. Come on, people.
I'm just thinking that now I've got enough words from Scott that I can just re-edit it. So it becomes, I'd like to stress I was in the turkey suit.
Do you really want to do that? Do you?
Do you want to go there?
Do you want to go there?
Anyway, should we get back to our turkey?
Yes, sorry.
Camille, tell us about our turkey. It was a...
Well, it was a bit of a cheap and cheerful retail type ad, wasn't it?
Spring break.
Well, you seem to be the biggest fan or a non-fan of it, Tim. Why don't you talk us through it?
Well, it was a cheeky, chirpy, cheerful Cockney voiceover telling us all about spring break, and with some bad puns and some bad singing. And it was to sell Chrysler and Jeep. And then about 2 days later, entirely coincidentally but amusingly, we learned that Clemenger BBDO had lost the business.
Some of us were amused. I wasn't actually laughing, but okay, Tim.
Because you were sad for them.
It's just sad for any business to lose.
Surely someone should have said that the creative was rubbish in the first place and not let it go out. Surely there's a problem.
Well,
there.
Sometimes perhaps it's actually the client and their restrictions that you're working within,
well,
other constraints.
The point, what we don't know is, this is a turkey because people voted a turkey. We were amused at its, cheap and cheerfulness. There's nothing to say that it didn't work hard as a retail ad that sold
absolutely
units.
Have we seen the ad sales yet?
It's like rather like, I love to hate Hungry Jack's ads, but I bet they sell units. same thing. Angry Angus, no thank you. Ad of the Year. Camille, tell us about the Ad of the Year.
Ad of the Year was already the highly rewarded Publicist Mojo ad for James Bogues, Pure Waters. So that won heaps of awards during the year anyway. But for me, I suppose in terms of my favourites, I love the URCG Veet ad, Goodbye Bush, just for the
this
context.
This was a print ad.
The print ad, just the context. Goodbye Bush. Which was Obama winning.
It was basically the day of the inauguration, wasn't it? And it ran in a few papers, just the message, goodbye Bush.
So a big picture of Obama and underneath the strip ad in the bottom. It wasn't terribly creative, but it was more the placement.
Unusually, though, it went viral for a print ad. People were scanning it in and emailing it around their friends, and it went right around the world. And I guess the other big ad that went viral this year was the Best Job in the World campaign, which...
was it 2.5 million that had behind it or something?
It was not a massive spend, that's for sure, and certainly not a massive media spend. So it was this idea, win the best job in the world. I think we've all heard about it a lot. But
it finished up this week, I believe.
Yes, until next time, I suspect. You know, I don't think we've seen it for the last time. So Best Job in the World won Social Media Campaign of the Year at the Umbrella Awards. And Cummins Nitro, or as they now are, Sapient Nitro, won Agency of the Year.
I think that's probably the icing on the cake for them. I mean, Cannes and the One Show, you know, the Effies are probably
they
just a bit of a...
They mean something, don't they?
Yes, but second, third shelf, I would say, and Umbrella.
But an Umbrella Award, you know, which is... hard to win, special. Only seven of them have been given out so
it
far.
It is special.
Not many agencies have got one of those.
No, and they want
What's it modelled on, your Umbrella
Award?
Well,
the unfair thing is some people have suggested there's a phallic element to it, which I can't see myself.
You can't see yourself in it?
I can't see the... I think you know exactly what I mean, so I'm not going there. And I'm very grateful to the very... clever and talented design agency that created it for us. I'm not even going to be mean about it. However, I am happy to be mean about the chaos over the readership measurement system, which has been a marvellous car crash to watch, really, hasn't it?
Kicked up a bit of a stink, hasn't it, with Fairfax and the MPAs pulling out of the tender process.
MPA being the magazine publishers. So we had this bid by Newspaper Works, who are the people who basically tell us all that newspapers are great and that print's not dead. So the sort of the propaganda arm of the newspaper industry decided
the advocacy marketing body.
Do you not like propaganda arm? Does that sound slightly loaded?
No.
Slightly, just a tad.
Continue.
So they have been trying for some time to create their own readership metric because they're not happy with the one provided by Roy Morgan Research. And I think there are, you know, lots of people do seem to have legitimate views on the level of customer service they get and everything else. But there was some suspicion on, you know, why you would let the newspaper industry measure its own audience, even if others are involved. So there was always that suspicion of, you know, you might as well ask King Herod to do the babysitting, etc. And it's had its ups and downs. The magazine industry looked like they were going to get involved, which was a big plus. Although that, you know, that led to a divide within the, you know, the magazine association, with ACP actually leaving the association over it. Then in the last few days we hear that actually the magazine industry, which is sort of led by, you know, Pacific magazines now, didn't want to get involved, and then Fairfax pulled out as well, which means that really News Limited are the company driving it now. Where Camille, make a prediction, where does this lead the readership survey? Is it dead, do you think? Will it ever happen?
Well, obviously, it's going to happen, isn't it?
Well, is it?
In terms of the newspaper,
someone
works.
Will have to pay for it to go the whole way, won't they?
Well, it doesn't seem to be...
they've called the tender. They're at the tender stage. Yeah. I personally wonder whether there will be the day when they first announce the results of the readership. Will we ever get to that day where the readership has been measured by this new survey?
Do you doubt that, do you?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I think it's highly possible. But it's more a case of having two currencies I would find confusing. So Fairfax with Roy Morgan and the rest of the publishers with another currency. I mean,
yeah, it's just going to get complex.
It's just, as a buyer, messy. I don't think that would be the most ideal situation.
No, it's odd. It's certainly an odd one because for Newspaper Works, it's been the first big project they've been involved in as well, you know, as a kind of industry body. So, because it's a relatively new body. Speaking of new bodies, did you see how I've really been making the links
new
work
bodies,
today?
Yeah.
Yes, the couple of industry bodies have come together to form the Communications Council. So that's from the rump of the Advertising Federation of Australia, an award, which is the big sort of industry awards body.
An APG,
the Kent Planning Group. And, you know, potentially it sounds like the Promotional Marketing Association may get involved as well a little down the line to create this amazing communications council uber body, and they're looking for a boss.
Yeah, they're looking for a boss. Have anyone you applied? Interested? Yeah, Tim, have you applied?
Do you know, at this point, I can rule myself out of the running for that one. The funny thing is, Mark Champion is the boss of the AFA at the moment, and I suspect one of the big champions of this merger in the first place is probably front and centre of their thinking, to the extent that one of our commenters on the story suggested that the job ad might just read Mark Champion wanted.
Mm. Well, watch this space, I suppose.
And also the Outdoor Media Association are looking for a boss as
well. Helen Willoughby-Ofsky?
Yes, she's moving government side, isn't she? So, so you know, if you fancy doing a bit of administrating of a public body, then now is the time.
I think this section
is not a paid for advert, by the way.
Yeah, this section is brought to you by Mumbrella Jobs, I believe.
Which is free.
It's a free jobs board. It's a free service. Which leads us to our favourite topic of the week. It's one that Scott, who has some very peripheral involvement on the edge of this, will briefly leave the room for. So let me just make sure that I... that's the worst sound effect ever. Now, let me just turn off his microphone. I turned off the right microphone. Camille, can we still hear you?
Hello.
Yes, we can. Excellent. So, Toyota Yaris social media campaign. Where do we begin?
Well, I think that you should begin, Tim, given that you got the ball rolling and everyone from the UK to the US has now been covering the story.
Okay. Well, let's go right back to the beginning. Once upon a time, and interrupt me and join in at any point, Toyota decided they were going to run a social media contest. They were going to ask five agencies to prove what they could do, come up with five different projects, and whoever did the best project engaged the public the most. And, you know, I'm sure there were lots of aims and tasks involved that haven't necessarily been in the public domain yet. When these metrics came out, at the end of that, Toyota and their social media team would decide who is going to be their social media agency going forward. They're each given a grant, a budget of $15,000 to go and make it happen. So that was part one. So good so far?
Sounds quite straightforward.
Straightforward, also an interesting thing, great for the industry because we could watch it all unfold, we could enjoy the learnings. So we've talked about them before, so I won't go through all of the contests, but there was a Sydney versus Melbourne one, there was a werewolf, there was a video blogger giving away a car using some Lego animation, and there was, what's the fourth one that I've missed? It'll come back to me if I don't think about it. Have you remembered, Camille? No.
Oh, it's the boot boxing. The boot boxing. Yes. It was memorable. Yeah.
Well, it will be really embarrassing if we do, between when we record this and when this comes out, they've won.
Win.
But yes, the boot boxing, which is people making noise involving cars and then remixing it.
Kind of like beatboxing.
And the fifth one, which many people predicted would perhaps be the loser from the level of involvement it got. Certainly we had a guest posting from Peter Bray from the brand shop, suggested that it wasn't going to make it, and that was the Clever Film Comp, organised by Saatchi & Saatchi. Make a short film, mention or feature Yaris in some way, and win $7,000.
And this is when we reach chapter two of this story, saga.
This unhappy story. So not many entries to begin with. You'd almost think that people are a bit tired of entering social media competitions where you make our ad for
make
us.
Make your own ad, yeah.
Exactly. Really in this original. Case, film. Such and such got a bit desperate. They emailed lots of contacts saying, we've had no entries. If you win, then $7,000. And at the moment, even if you just did a picture of your kitty cat in its litter tray, then that could win. That was an actual quote from the email that went around various production houses. Now, unfortunately, that meant that what they got back was, because they were talking to production houses, was lots of ads rather than short films. Spoof ads, outrageous ads, sort of thing that maybe wouldn't go on telly.
High production quality, looked great, but...
So then they decided to pick a winner. And the winner was called...
Clean Getaways.
Correct. And it was innuendo laden. At this point, we'll just listen to a few seconds of it.
Hi, I'm Horny.
Hello, I'm Seething.
I'm here to take Jennifer's virginity out tonight. Is she ready to go? Oh, I hope I haven't come too prematurely.
I'm coming.
You're going to be soon.
Bye, Mum. Bye, Dad.
Wait. Do you have any protection while you're driving my daughter home?
Oh, yeah, of course. I've got a Yaris.
So, you know, somewhat obvious, perhaps, the humour, but well shot, you know, well enough scripted, well lit, well presented. The problem was, as soon as they picked it as the winner, it started feeling like something that Toyota endorsed. So when I wrote about it, when I saw it, other publications picked it up and it became a global story.
And there were already comments online.
Yes, by the time we wrote about it, there was already the beginnings of an online backlash. Yeah. People on the Facebook group, people in the YouTube comments thread were already saying this is a bit sexist at the very least. You know, some saying there were even sort of undertones of incest, which was probably going a tad too far, but you could sort of see what they meant. Certainly obviously the sort of ad that would never run on TV. So the issue was, for Toyota, they really felt that this was nothing to do with them. It was user-generated content. To the public, who Toyota had just voted it as the winner, it felt like it was Toyota endorsed.
Well, they're running the process, so one would think, yes, absolutely, they have every right to feel that way.
So it's been something of a schmozzle ever since. Lessons.
Look, for me, I want to say, first of all, it's great to see a client actually get out there and try something new, because especially in this day and age, and we hear it all the time from agencies, really conservative clients in the current climate.
Yeah, I would be really sad if it meant that Toyota never tried something in social media
And this could have gone so very right. But
not maybe that campaign.
Well, no.
It was a bad idea, in my view.
Not clean getaways, obviously. Not that.
Yeah, or even the filmmaking competition.
Well, I mean, we knew that was an idea from a very traditional advertising agency, so we never thought that was going to win anyway. But we didn't think that the entries or what they put up as the winner would actually just cause such a
global fuss.
A clip of fuss, that's one word for it. But I mean, it could have potentially been, you know, as we were saying, the big case study that other marketers would look towards and go, okay, look, it is possible to really do something interesting in this space because, you know, we're all new to it. Unfortunately, I mean, and also, they were working with incumbents, they were working with agencies they already knew, so they thought there was probably a level of trust there as well. They thought, you know, they know what they're doing. Unfortunately, it kind of spiraled out of control.
It did. And certainly, I guess the other lesson I would point towards is any social media campaign you get involved in is probably going to have a level of PR involvement, somebody who understands PR.
Absolutely.
And the PR issues. Okay, well, that is our little chat about Toyota. At this point, we will let Scott come back in, and then I'll have to try and turn his microphone back up. Scott, come and sit back down and say hello to the people, and we'll see if we've got and say hello to them again, and we'll see if we've got your microphone back on.
Hello, can you hear me now?
I'm going to try this one instead.
There you go.
There I am. Brilliant. Yes. How marvellous that's got. So, which brings us to,
speaking of high production values,
it's about transparency. Let's just wrap up. We've talked about the last few days, the last week or so. Let's talk about the year as a whole. Good year, bad year. Scott, for you, which brand or marketer or media company had a good year?
A good year. And see, I think there's been so many had good years this year.
Well, pick one.
I'm just trying. It's a hard one to do. There's been so many good ones this year. I can tell you my bad one right away. That's
okay, well, we'll go to your bad one. Will you bluff and pretend that you've done some preparation? Tell us about your bad year.
I'm going to have to give Tiger Woods, I'm afraid, on this one. As a brand, it's probably the worst damage I've seen to anybody in a long time, or to any brand. I mean,
and so speedily.
Yeah, I mean, he was the speed at which it went from, you know, a dodgy phone call to delete this message to, you know, 10 mistresses, a love child, and I don't even know what. It's probably got porn movies made and everything by now.
From Golden Boy to lost sponsors as
well. Yeah, I mean, he's just, you know, and he's got enough money, don't get me wrong, he'd just skip out the rest of the world right now and just go buy an island and live on it.
Camille, your bad year.
Bad year? Yes. I want to start on the positive.
We're going to do bad first, and then we'll come to good. Right, it's Scott's fault.
Well, I mean, my example probably would be the standout for me. It's kind of a bit of a double whammy. So again, going back to Kyle and Jackie O, probably more Kyle himself because he's the driving personality and force on that program. Well, bad in terms of the backlash against the lie detector segments and exposing him for the arrogant twat that he is, or just bringing more attention to it. But then it ended up being a good year for him because he ended up winning at the end of the day because he was suspended, but he's now going back on air, and he may actually be back on Australian Idol. Mm. So
it's kind of like he can't do no wrong, which is bizarre because really he can.
Speaking of doing wrong, my bad year, I'm going to pick, I'm going to go for banking actually. So firstly, my bad year, Westpac. That video.
Why would that be? Well, something happened.
It's not just a video though, is it? They're quite an attitude this year.
The classic example was I had lunch with someone who has $1 million mortgage recently, today as we're recording this. And he was saying he's got a mortgage with Westpac. He didn't actually have a great problem with the increase in the interest rate. Mm. But when he received the video, he was personally outraged. Mm. He actually, and this is someone who works in the industry, felt like changing banks as a result. This video, it's worth describing it, Camille, if you're not
seeing
it.
Yeah, it's the smoothie, the banana smoothie story, where it was a voiceover, a narrator almost in a childlike, once upon a time storytelling mode, comparing the rise in price of banana smoothies to their own interest rate.
It was spectacular shooting in the foot. So that's my bad year. My good year, slightly sneaking under the radar, but I'm going to go with another bank one, which is CommBank.
They turned themselves around this year.
They did. Well, the observation I'd make is the last year they brought in a new agency, Goodby Silverstein, a US agency, which is always going to be controversial, came out with an ad, which I still don't like, and I don't like the campaign itself, which is the idea of an American ad agency with some clever, practical marketing department, Aussie marketing department, who give their insights. I don't particularly like the creative, but what absolutely has to be recognised is that when the GFC came along, they were perfectly positioned to ride it out. All of the positioning was in place, and they came through it very, very well. And I think a lot of it was down to their brand positioning.
Yeah. Mm. But I think they're concerned now that the backlash or the... We've said backlash a lot in this... the year of the backlash, I think. Is that what's happened to Westpac will have a long-term or wider ramifications on the banking industry now. And they've, and CommBank, as you said, has done such a good job in turning their image around. So
there's the wider perception. Mm. So perhaps there needs to be, a kind of... repositioning of bankers generally.
Well, they're bankers, so yes. That's a tough one.
This is a very tough brief, which hopefully has given Scott time to to decide from his shortlist.
This may seem rather strange, and they're already just kind of on their high horse no matter what, but I'd probably say Google, again, has had a great year. For me, for the launch of Google Wave, obviously developed in Australia. You don't like Google Wave? Not a fan?
Oh, has it actually made an impact yet?
Hasn't made an impact apart from people like Scott, who are in the social media community.
No, a lot of my friends use it for we use it for organising events and stuff, and we can all discuss it. We use it for get-togethers and stuff. So I find it actually really useful. And as it expands, because there's only a million point five users at the moment. Once it becomes a norm,
You guys are the first.
Yeah.
What do you call them?
Forefront
of it all. What do they call you?
Pioneers.
Yeah, that's what I think of Scott. Yes,
And obviously, they've just launched a new kind of Bitly link, Goog.gl. We'll see. I think 2010 we'll see a lot more of that. Mm. So, for me, they're just continuing to grow from strength to strength, and their downfall might be hard if it ever happens, but it'll be interesting to see.
Well, on that positive note, wrapped up as a negative one, Camille.
No, I've got a positive.
Give us a positive. Come on.
You wouldn't let me talk. I think I'm just glad in terms of the creative industry. We've moved on from lunching on the big ad all these years, and now to the best job. So, best job, Cummins Nitro's year or Sapient Nitro's year, and Tourism Queensland with best job. 2009.
A good way to finish. Well, that is it. That's our last podcast for this year. There will be more early in 2010. My thanks to the pioneering Scott Rohde.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And to Camille Alacombe.
Thank you.
Should we wish all the readers a Merry Christmas, our listeners a Merry Christmas?
We should do that, shouldn't we?
Our readers even, yes.
Yeah.
And our thanks also to the guys at CBS Interactive for providing the studio for all this time. Have a great year. Have a great Christmas.
Do you want to do that end bit again?
Camille can just fix that end bit.